about various concepts that we have in regard to things. This is something that we encourage those in other religious bodies to do, think for themselves, to re-examine what they believe and what they practice in view of the Scriptures. And if that's good advice for people in other religious groups, it's just as good for those of us who assemble here to do the very same thing. We spent a couple of Sundays in talking about the idea of church and the church that Jesus built, and suggested to you that there are some things that that church is not, and there are some things that that church is. And we'll be taking a deeper look at that in some classes starting in December. What we've been doing, did this last week, and we'll continue it this week, there are some concepts about baptism that need to be re-examined. There are some things that we believe about baptism. There are some things that we practice in regard to baptism. And these also need to be looked at again. There is nothing that should be off the table, so to speak, when we start thinking in terms of re-examining our attitudes toward various things. And so the statement here in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, this great so-called Great Commission that Jesus gave to the apostles, talks about one of the things that the apostles were to do when they went out teaching people, discipling the people, is what that literally means. They were to baptize those who had been discipled. And this is one of our, I say our, this is one of the things that we in this congregation and in other churches of Christ, this is one of our hallmark subjects. And we talk a lot about baptism, and rightly we should. But there are some things about it and about that practice that we need to be willing to go back and take another look at. One of the things we talked about last week, and we tried to make this very, very clear, that there are no certain words that must be said prior to baptism. And there are no certain people who are to administer baptism. Now, when we baptize people, a lot of times somebody will say, "I've now baptized you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And that's a good thing to say. I'm not saying that we should stop saying those words. But saying those words is not what makes that baptism acceptable to God. The validity of a person's baptism is not based upon words that are said right prior to the baptism. And the other thing that we pointed out is that there are no certain people who are to administer baptism. If someone says they were baptized for the remission of their sins, they were immersed in water for the remission of their sins, and yet that was done by some denominational, we'll talk about this more in a moment, that was done by some denominational preacher. Well, so what? The validity of the baptism does not depend upon the person doing the baptizing. Now, what we need is a verse that says that it does. Is there a verse of Scripture in the New Testament that says that certain people are to be the ones who did the baptizing? Now, this is what we tell people in denominational circles. We say, "Give me the verse." And that's right. That's a fine thing to say. All right, where's the verse that says that Christians must do the baptizing? Where's the verse? I haven't found that. So the validity of baptism, this is something that needs to be re-examined. The validity of being baptizing does not depend upon the words that are said, and it does not depend upon the person doing the baptizing. Now, this morning we're going to be taking a look at this question and some questions related to it. And this is the question about, is denominational baptism valid? Now, here's what I mean by that. And here's what I think that people mean when they say that. Here is someone who comes to us, and we're talking with them just in conversation, or maybe we're having a Bible study with them. And I've had this happen many times in just private Bible studies. You're talking to people about the Bible, and you get to the matter of baptism, the subject of baptism, and the necessity of baptism, and somebody says, "Oh yeah, I was baptized. I've been baptized." "Really?" "Yeah, I was baptized." And then you get to talking more, and they say, "Well, I was baptized several years ago. Baptist preacher baptized me." I've been baptized for the remission of sins. And then things get quiet. And most of the time, our reaction is going to be, "Well, that was Baptist baptism. That was Baptist baptism." And you're going to have to be baptized again. Now, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here, but upon what basis do we say that? Upon what basis do we say that? So, has a person been baptized properly and acceptable to God? If they were baptized by someone in another religious body, is that a valid question? Well, when you go over to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 19 and verse 3, go back to verse 1 of the chapter. "And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. And there he found some disciples, and he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And they said, 'No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit.' Then verse 3, and he said," that is Paul said, "into what then were you baptized?' And they said, 'Into John's baptism.'" Now, there are a lot of things in this conversation that we could talk about. But the question that Paul asked, "Into what then were you baptized?" "Into what then were you baptized?" is a valid question. It's something that has validity. Pardon me. And we need to ask people, "Into what then were you baptized?" When you go over to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6, and in verse 3, there seems to be here an answer to that question. We'll go back to verse 1 again to get the context. "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it?" Now, look at verse 3. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death?" Now again, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. Paul did not say, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into the church of Christ were baptized into His death?" He didn't say that. "All of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death." We're baptized, brethren, into Christ. We are not baptized into the Church of Christ religious system, into the Church of Christ organization or institution. I'm very, very fearful that a whole lot of people who have a real aversion to denominational baptism have their own form of it. We react negatively when somebody says, I was baptized by a Baptist preacher or a Methodist preacher or what you choose the religious group. But then we turn right around and demand that they be baptized into our baptism, Church of Christ baptism. That you've got to be baptized into the right church. This is why, brethren, our concept of church is so important. And this is why, and this was my idea, by the way, that we have a sort of an in-depth study beginning in the first Sunday of December. On Sunday morning and Wednesday night, we'll be taking a look at the concept of church. Not the concept of the church, but the concept of church. What does the New Testament teach about church and the concept of church? And ironically, again, I think those who a lot of times assemble with churches of Christ and who have a real negative view of denominationalism have in their practice a denominational concept of church. And whenever we insist that one of our people do the baptizing, that a Church of Christ person do the baptizing, we need to get out our Bibles. I'm going to do this several times. We need to get out our Bibles and flip over to the verse or the verses which say that somebody who is a Christian needs to do the baptizing. And we mean by that somebody's a member of the Church of Christ. Now just find the verse. That's all that we ask. Find the verse that teaches such a thing. Is denominational baptism valid? Let me suggest this to you. Baptism into the Church of Christ religious system is as much denominational baptism as being baptized into the Methodist Church or the Baptist Church religious system. And I've got just as much of a problem with Church of Christ baptism as I do with so-called denominational baptism. When somebody comes to me and they tell me that they were baptized into the Church of Christ system, that they were a member of that other church system, but now they got the right church system, they've got the right religious system, the right religious organization, and they've just switched from the Rotary Club to the Kiwanis Club, basically. That concept is nowhere ever found in the New Testament. Being saved is not a matter of getting into the right church. If by church we mean religious system, religious organization, and if our concept of church that Jesus built in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I'll build my church, if our concept of that church is that Jesus built this big organization over here, this big religious system, and we take people and we take them from this religious system and put them into this religious system, and in order to get into the Church of Christ religious system, you've got to be baptized by a member of the Church of Christ, I'm still looking. And I make this challenge as kindly as I can. I'm still looking for somebody that will present me with a verse that teaches that. Haven't found it. So being saved is not a matter of getting into the right church, if by church we mean religious organization and system. Being saved is a matter of getting into the proper relationship with God. And there is a huge difference. between the concept of being in a relationship with God and being a part of some kind of religious system or organization. Do you accept a person's word for it whenever they come to you and they say, and I've been in Bible studies like this, been in Bible studies when a person says, I've been baptized with mixture of sins by brother so-and-so in the Methodist, Baptist, whatever. They baptized me for the remission of my sins. And I don't know what that church taught, but I know what I believed. And I believed that I was being baptized for the remission of sins. Upon what basis do you not accept a person's word if they told you that they had been immersed into Christ for the remission of their sins? What are you going to do? Upon what basis are you going to not accept that person's word? Would it be because one of us had not done the baptizing? Would it be because one of us had not done the teaching? And I think when you get right down to it, there are a lot of brethren who that's where it is. Unless you were baptized by one of us, preferably in one of our buildings. Unless you were baptized by one of us, and unless one of us did the teaching, then your baptism is denominational. And you've got to do it again. And I'm going to keep saying this. I know that I'm repeating myself. Where's the verse? Where are the verses that teach such a thing? What makes baptism valid? What is it that causes God to look upon a person's immersion in water as something that's valid and something that He accepts? Who does the baptizing or the teaching? Does not validate or invalidate the baptism. What matters is an individual's reason for an understanding of what baptism is and what it does. It doesn't depend upon who does the baptizing. It doesn't matter. Even if they're not a Christian, it doesn't matter. What matters is the person's heart who is being baptized. And if their understanding is, I'm being baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins, what else do they need to know? So what must one know in order to be baptized properly? Well, if you're expecting the next thing on the screen to be a list of five or six or seven things, I'm going to disappoint you. I don't know. I think it varies from person to person what they must know. But I do know this. We need to make sure when we say they need to be taught right, I think a lot of times what we mean by that is they need to be indoctrinated. And here's what I mean by indoctrinate from Webster. To teach someone to fully accept the ideas, opinions, and beliefs of a particular group and to not consider other ideas, opinions, and beliefs. To imbue with a usually partisan or sectarian opinion, point of view, or principle. Now, when we say to somebody, you need to be taught right and need to be rebaptized, are we really meaning by that, we need to indoctrinate you. You need to know about us. You need to know about instrumental music. Need to know about the Holy Spirit. need to know about the institutional issues. Well, you've got to know about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And we've got our list of things. And you've got to know. And is that what we're trying to do? Brethren, I don't know that baptizing somebody based upon our indoctrination is any better than them being baptized based upon the indoctrination by another religious group. Is it? These are some things about baptism I've wanted to say for a long time. When you're younger, you know, you're afraid to say it because of what it's going to do to you as you get older. You don't care what they say to you or what they say about you. But these are my convictions. I may be wrong. And I'm certainly willing to discuss these things if you have any questions or need further clarification. But I am very, very concerned that in our objections to accepting someone upon their denominational baptism, that we want them to be baptized based upon our denominational view of things. And one form of denominational baptism is no better than another form. And so, these conclusions are the ones that I want to leave with you. First of all and foremost, baptism is immersion in water for the remission of sins. And if someone comes to me and tells me that they were not immersed in water, but rather they had water poured or sprinkled upon them, then I'm going to insist, not based upon some kind of church doctrine, but based upon what the New Testament teaches, I'm going to kindly suggest to them they've not been baptized. Because baptism is immersion in water. If they come to me and tell me they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to suggest to them very kindly but very frankly, they haven't been baptized. Because the baptism of the New Testament is immersion, all right, but it's immersion in water. And unless that has taken place, they've not been baptized. And the second thing is, baptism is not only immersion in water, it is for the remission of sins. If someone comes to me and says, yeah, I was immersed in water, but remission of sins, I know. I had my sins forgiven 15 years ago, before baptism. No, I'm sorry. Again, I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be very kind. But I'm going to also be very frank about what the New Testament teaches. New Testament teaches that remission of sins does not precede baptism. It follows baptism. And unless a person's baptism was immersion in water for the remission of sins, then that is an invalid baptism. And that needs to be looked at very seriously by those who have not been immersed in water in order to obtain the remission of sins. Baptism is not dependent upon the person doing the baptizing, not dependent upon the words that are said. Baptism is denominational. If our intention is to be baptized into a religious institution, if somebody comes to me and tells me they were baptized to get into the Church of Christ religious group, I'm going to have a huge problem with that based upon what the Scriptures teach, because the Scriptures do not teach that there is a Church of Christ religious institution. And I'll have as much problem with that as someone who tells me they were baptized to get into the Baptist or the Methodist or the Lutheran religious system. All those things are concepts of baptism that are not found in the New Testament. And baptism is to be preceded by teaching, not indoctrination. Whether that teaching comes from somebody else or it's something that I came to the conclusion of by myself. And someone comes to me and says, I've been studying my Bible by myself, and I've decided that baptism is for the remission of sins in order to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not going to say, okay, let's do some classes and make sure you understand some issues. No. If they understand that much, then they're ready to get into water and be baptized for the remission of their sins. As I said last week, if you have questions about what I've said this morning or last week, the person sitting next to you on the bench is not the person to ask what I meant. I'm going to smile when I say that. They're not the person to ask because they didn't teach it. They can't explain it. The person to ask is me, and I'll be glad to sit down very cordially, very, very nicely, and discuss these things and answer your questions and clarify anything that I can clarify that perhaps you thought I said, and maybe I didn't say it, or maybe I didn't say it the way that I should have said it. Be certainly glad to discuss that with you. But this morning, if there is someone here that has not been properly baptized, I mean properly based on what the Scriptures teach, if you've not been immersed in water, then you've not been baptized. If you've not been baptized, if you've not been immersed in water for the remission of your sins, you've not been baptized. So if this morning, that's what you want to do, you want to be baptized scripturally, you want to be immersed in water by one of the men in the congregation here, that's what you want to do in order to have a relationship with God by having your sins washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. There's not anything that we could do this morning that would make us any happier than to assist you in that obedience. And we encourage you to think about that while we stand and sing the song that Glenn has selected.
We'll provide some announcements and then we'll be